You are listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week, Pastor Ray finishes up our three-part series on giving and talks about generosity. Here's Pastor Ray.
We are concluding our give series this morning. And in this give series, we've been talking about God's plan for unleashing His abundance in every dimension of your life. Linda mentioned in your energies, in your efforts, in your finances as well. So it's not just about money. This is about in all of your life. It includes your health, your relationships. God wants you to live the abundant life. And I want to live the abundant life. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. And I want that for me. I don't want to leave any of the blessings of God on the table in heaven. I want to experience them. What He means for me, I want to experience them in this life. I want that for my family, for my wife, my children, my grandchildren. I want all of God's blessings now. I want them in my lifetime. And I want that for you. I honestly do. And that is my motivation for teaching this series. Anytime I talk about this, this is my motivation. I want you to be uncommonly blessed of the Lord. And there's a way that we unleash that in our lives, and that is through what we're talking about in this series and in this message today. I want that for you, and God wants that for you. God wants you to live in what I would call a cycle of abundance. A cycle of abundance. And let me describe that cycle this way. This is kind of a definition or a description of it. The cycle of abundance looks like this. The more you give away, the more God will give you to give away. Doesn't that sound good? You know, you're going to give it away. God's going to give it to you, and you're going to give it away, and He's going to give you more, and you're going to find that you truly cannot outgive the Lord. Some of you already know that to be the case. Some of you are on your way to experience that. Some of you have yet to experience that. But I pray that as you step out of faith to obey God's law in the area of giving, that you will come into that experience where you say, man, I have not been able to outgive the Lord. That is the testimony that Linda and I have had over the years, and I want that to be true of you as well. You cannot outgive the Lord. So the more that you give away, the more that God will give you to give away, and that will be that cycle. You'll just be that conduit, that pipeline of blessing when you come into this truth. Now, implied in that description is the key to unleashing God's abundance to you and through you. And here's the key. You have to become a conduit of generosity. If you're not, if you don't say, God, I want to be the pipeline through which your abundance flows, then you're not going to experience that. You've got to be a conduit of generosity. So I want to talk about that using 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9 today, which is the preeminent, premier biblical text on what we're talking about. And in this, I'm going to jump right into it. I want to give you five reasons or five principles, or five practices, why generosity, why the practice of generosity is so critically important to your life in this regard. So let's just jump right in. Number one, five principles. Number one, generosity is God's preeminent trait. Generosity is God's preeminent quality. Giving defines God. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, the very first verse of this passage says that our generosity actually starts with God's generosity, God's grace that has been given among the churches. God is a giver. God is a giver. He always has been. He is now. He always will be. For God so loved the world that He gave. He gave His best. He gave His all. He gave His only begotten Son so that the world through Him could be redeemed. God is a giver. So therefore, in any appeal to give, any time that I or Linda or one of the other pastors stands up here to receive the offering on Sundays or on Wednesdays or whenever we receive offerings, or whenever we have a special offering like the offering to the poor that we're going to give on the Sunday before Thanksgiving, a Kingdom Builders offering. We're going to give it to the children of the church. We're going to give it to Children's Feeding Initiative in Africa. We've also targeted our outreach, new outreach to immigrant young people in the city of Portland. Whenever you give to a special offering like that, whenever I talk about tithing or somebody talks about tithing and we encourage you to make a commitment to tithe, whenever we go into a capital campaign, we do that from time to time. This year, we went into a campaign to raise money for the refreshing of the building. A few years ago, we went into the Get Out of Debt campaign. Before that, we raised money to plant churches in East Africa. So in any of those appeals to giving, always, always, always remember this. You've got to start here, that it was God who gave to us first. God gave to us first. If you don't get that, and if you don't remember that, then any attempt for me to appeal to you to give and any sustained effort on your part to give is going to fall short. You got to remember that it starts with God. God gave to us first. So our giving, therefore, is not to initiate God's giving. Now, that will happen. When you give, God will give. He will give back to you. Jesus said he will give. He will make sure that it's given to you. Press down, shaken together, running over. You're going to get back when you give. That's just the law of God. But that's not why we give. We don't initiate God's giving. Rather, it is simply our thankful response to what God has already given us. So whenever we give in an offering, we really ought to do it with a motive of gratitude. We ought to thank God for the grace of giving. You know, whenever this comes along, an opportunity to give, it ought to be done out of a heart of gratitude. If you really understand giving, that's why you give, because God is a giver. Number two, our generosity honors the Creator's design. God is a giver, and guess what? He's created his children to be givers as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5 says that generous giving simply flows out of God's purposes working in you, the Message translation of the Bible. We were made with God's DNA. And since he is genetically generous, he has made us to be generous to the core. God can't help himself. It's just who he is. He is a generous giver, and he wants us to be genetically generous as well. And if we're not, if you're not a generous giver, if you're not a giver, or if you're a reluctant giver, or if you're a begrudging giver, then that just indicates that God's DNA is not functioning the right way. It's not fully functioning in your life. But when we give, we're just doing what God does. When we give, we're just doing what God does. God is a giver. God is a giver. And he wants us to be a giver. And when you give, friends, whenever you give, whether it's money, whether it's of your time, whether it's of your talents, when you give, you are never more God-like. God has created us to be like him. I mean, we have the designer genes of God. And when we give, we're just being like God. You never get more God-like than that. Remember a few years ago, these books were really popular called Chicken Soup for the Soul. Remember those books? Did you ever get any of those? Kind of the syrupy, kind of books. But they had some good stories. I mean, there's one that really stood out to me. It was a story that a lady by the name of Julie Manham told of a little boy, just maybe 5 or 6 years old, who decided that he wanted to go out and find where God lived. So that was a pretty good idea. So he wanted to go find, where does God live? Well, he figured that it would be a long trip, and so he packed his suitcase for the journey. And in his suitcase, he packed Twinkies and root beer, which I think is the making for a great road trip, by the way. I think you couldn't go wrong. Just put them in the car when you go, and it's going to be great. And then he set out to find where God lived. And he had gone about 3 blocks when he happened upon an older woman who was sitting on a park bench just watching the pigeons. And so he sat next to her. And then he opened up his suitcase and he pulled out a Twinkie and he was gonna eat his snack. And then he looked at the lady and he thought that she looked a little hungry. So he pulled out another Twinkie and he gave it to her. And she accepted it with a very warm smile. Didn't say a word. Well, he loved the smile, so then he decided he was going to give her a root beer as well. So he pulled out the root beer, he handed it to her, and she smiled a big smile at him. And he liked that warm feeling of her response to his generosity. So they sat eating and they sat smiling, and they never said a word. They never uttered a word of conversation to one another. Well, after a bit, the sun began to go down. A little boy realized he better get home. And so he closed up a suitcase and he got ready to go. Before he left, he went over to the woman and he gave her a hug. And she hugged him back, and then she smiled her warmest smile yet at him. The little boy returned home, and his mom saw him come in with a grin on his, ear-to-ear grin on his face, and she wondered what was going on. And she said, "Why are you so happy?" And he said, "Well, today I had lunch with God." And then he added, before she could respond to it, he added, "She's got the prettiest smile ever." At the same time, the older woman went back home. She lived with her son, and she walked in, and the son noticed that she had a grin from ear to ear on her face, and he said to her, "Why so happy?" And she said, "Because I ate Twinkies in the park with God." And then, before he could respond, she added, "He's much younger than I expected." Well, it's true that we are never more like God than when we're giving what we have away. Even our Twinkies. Like Father, like Son. Like Father, like Daughter. We're never more God-like. Number three, our generosity unlocks God's abundance. Now, that's the overall theme of this series. It's the proposition to this series of messages. But our generosity is what unlocks God's abundance in our lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, if you'll turn over there, if you have your Bibles open. Look at verse 8. I'm going to read this from the Contemporary English Version. I know I use a lot of different translations sometimes, and I just think it brings out the different nuances or facets to God's truth. And this is what it says from that particular version. By the way, it doesn't change the meaning, so please understand that. But it says, God can bless you with everything that you need, and you'll always have more than enough to do all kinds of good things for others. God can bless you with everything you need, and then some. It unlocks God's abundance in your life. This immutable cycle says that the more we generously give, the more God abundantly gives to us. Not my law, not some health and wealth prosperity gospel that I'm spouting here, is simply God's truth. When we get this right, when we understand it, and we do it from the right motives, our generous giving unlocks God's abundance back to us. I like what Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24 says. I'm going to read this from the Message translation. It says, "The world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller." I want my world to be expanding, ever expanding. Generosity is the key. So as you master generosity, as you master the art, the practice of generosity, you're going to have more. You're going to have more because God is a God of more. God is the God of more. You're going to have more money. You're going to have more money. Now, will you be filthy rich? You know, insanely wealthy? I don't know. I doubt it. I hope so, but I kind of doubt it. That doesn't happen for everyone. Are you going to win the Mega Millions jackpot, which is now officially over $1 billion? And now I'm really praying about it. Does God speak to me about this? If he guarantees something, I'll, you know, maybe, I don't know. I haven't bought a ticket, but, you know, are we going to become insanely rich? I don't know. I doubt it. But remember, the definition of abundance is more. You have more than enough. So you will have more than enough money. Not only that, but you're going to have more than enough opportunity. You ever run into some people that just always seem to have doors opening for them? They always get the opportunity. They always get the chance. And you're going, why did they get blessed so much? Well, maybe this is the reason. Maybe it's because they're a generous person. You will have more opportunity. You will have, even better, you will have more influence and more impact. You will have a life of significance. God is going to bless you with more impact and influence than you've ever had. And you will have more joy than ever before. It's just God's law. God is the God of more. Your generosity unlocks that. Here's number four. Generosity is how God measures our giving. I want you to really think about this. I want you to think about this in terms of your giving. How does God measure your giving? By your generosity, by the generosity of your heart. 2 Corinthians 8, 5, back to chapter 8, verse 5 says, "They gave themselves first to the Lord, and then to us just as God wanted them to do. See, it's not the amount that counts. I've said that before, and I'll say it again. It is not the amount that counts. It's the generosity of the heart that God measures. And that's hard for us to measure, but not for God. We can measure the amount. We do that all the time. But God measures what's inside. He measures, he puts the tape measure of generosity around your heart as you give. Not the amount that counts, it's the generosity of the heart. That's the measuring stick that God uses. There's a verse in Philippians chapter 4 that I want to share with you this morning. It's verses 17 and 18, actually. And I'm going to read this from the J.B. Phillips translation or paraphrase of the Bible. And it says this. It says, it isn't the value of the gift. It's the reward that will come to you because of these gifts you've made. Listen to this. Your generosity is like a lovely fragrance, a sacrifice that pleases the heart of God. And then verse 19, Paul adds this. He says that God's supply will outmatch, our sacrifice. And with all his abundant wealth through Christ Jesus, my God will supply all of your needs. We quote that verse a lot. We take it out of context, not inappropriately, but we don't consider the whole context of what Paul is saying there. We'll often say, and my God will supply all of your needs according to his riches by Christ Jesus in glory. And that's true, isn't it? But connect that back to the context. What unleashes that? What unleashes God's supply of abundance to you? He just has talked about it. It's the sacrificial giving that you have placed before the Lord. The generous giving, the sacrificial giving that you have placed before the Lord. There's a great story. I wish I had time to talk about this, but it's in 2 Samuel chapter 24, the last chapter in Samuel. And David is about to buy, he wants to buy the property, a piece of land, upon which ultimately the temple will be built by his son Solomon. But David wants to buy it for a sacrifice, a burnt offering that he wants to offer to the Lord because of a sin that he has committed in his leadership over Israel. And the man that owns the property sees David coming, the king, and David says, I want to buy your property. And the man says, no, it's not for sale. I want to give it to you. I want to give you this as a gift. You're the king. I want to place this in your hands. Put away your checkbook. And I will also give you the wood and the oxen to make the burnt offering. And David says, no way, nothing doing, because I will not offer a sacrifice that costs me nothing. Whenever you give in an offering, whenever you think you're being generous, you measure even generosity by sacrifice. Has it cost me something? Has it gone beyond what I'm comfortable giving? Has it gone beyond what I have to give? Like the widow who gave the two mites. We talked about that 2 weeks ago, that Jesus said she gave more than anyone else because she gave everything that she had. She sacrificed. I will not give to the Lord that which costs me nothing. God measures the generosity of your heart. And when it's generous, that unleashes the abundance of God back to you. And then lastly, number 5. When it comes to generosity, only you can decide the level of your generosity. Only you can decide that. I can't. Nobody else can. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, go back there, look at verse 7. It says, each one of you, or each one, should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under convulsion, or as one little kid said, under convulsions, you know. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. You decide in your heart. I can't determine the amount. I can't tell you if it's generous or not. I mean, you know, I might say, man, that's generous of you to do that. I don't know, really. Only you can determine if it's generous or not. The law of tithing can't determine whether it's generous or not. I mean, it's a standard. It can dictate a number, 10%. And I happen to think that's a pretty good measurement to go by. Am I at least hitting the benchmark, the minimum benchmark of a Christian by giving a tenth of my income back to God? But that doesn't measure generosity. It's just a number. Generosity is a heart decision. and you get to decide it. And then to that principle, Paul adds that if you will do that, if you will decide and become generous in your giving, there's a promise that God will respond to your generosity with overflowing grace. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. You can't earn it. God gives out of his heart of generosity. Look at verse 8 of chapter 9. It says, and God, I love the way this is written here, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Wow. God wants you to give generously, whatever that is, your time, your talent, your treasures for sure, so that he can bless you generously, so that you in turn can be a conduit of kingdom blessing, of kingdom generosity, the cycle of abundance. God wants to bless you. Your generosity unleashes that. God wants to bless you abundantly so that you can give abundantly, so that you can then give even more abundantly to the work of the kingdom of God in whatever way the Lord opens the door for you. So let me just summarize it this way. As you give deliberatively, in other words, you decide in your heart what to give. As you give eagerly, not reluctantly, not under compulsion, as you give joyfully, with a cheerful heart, a heart of gratitude, you can expect God to give you more. You can expect God to give you more to give. Because God is the God of more, and he wants to unleash that in your life. Again, verse 8 from the New Living Translation says, and God will generously provide all that you need, and then you will always have everything that you need and plenty left over. That's abundance. Plenty left over to share with others. Your generosity gives you the right to expect that of God and the opportunity to experience that from God. I know we might get a little bit uncomfortable with saying, I expect God to do this. But there are certain laws that God himself has established. In fact, in I think it's in Malachi where he says, hey, listen, test me in this. Relating to the generosity that he's calling us to have in tithing. He says, test me in this. Now, most of the time, in fact, as far as I know, every other time in Scripture, God says, don't test me in this. Do not go there. Don't make me come over there. But here he says, test me in this. So it's a law that God says, you can expect this of me when you do this. Your generosity gives you the right to expect and experience that. When you decide to be a conduit of generosity, God's abundance will flow to you. Not only in your income, yes, in your resources, in your income, but in other ways as well. Also in your interest. God will perfect everything that concerns you, that concerns good and bad, the interest that you have in your life, as well as your interior life. He'll bless your efforts. He'll bless your inner person, your soul. He'll bless your finances. He will bless you in every way. The Apostle John, in 3 John, only one chapter, chapter 1 and verse 2, offered a prayer for the people that he was writing to. And this is my prayer for you. And I want you to know that I'm going to be praying this over the next 2 weeks as I'm gone. I will pray this prayer every day for you. You'll be prayed for. And this is the prayer, that you may prosper in all things. Do you know what all things means? You're growing in your knowledge of the Word of God. Yeah, it just means all things. What does that include? All things. That you may prosper in all things, including being in good health. When you lose your health, you know what a blessing it is. When you're watching someone struggle with health, you know how difficult that is. What a blessing it is to be in good health. I'm going to pray that you're going to be in good health. And then he says, just as your soul prospers, your interior life. Best of all, I think, is that sense of satisfaction and significance and peace that we have of knowing that God's hand of favor is upon us. So, my challenge to you, my commission to you is be generous. It's good for you. It's good for your soul. There's a story I came across a few years back. I don't remember where I got it, but it's the story of a family that went out to dinner at a restaurant. And the little boy was about 6 years old, and he wanted to pray over the meal. He's just bugging his mom, "I want to pray over the meal." And so she said, "Sure, go ahead." So they ordered their food. As they ordered their food, then they bowed for prayer. And the little boy prayed this prayer. He said, "God is good. God is great. Thank you for the food, especially if mom gets us dessert afterwards. With liberty and justice for all. Amen." Well, he prayed aloud enough that the other diners around him heard it, and they began to laugh. They thought it was really cute, really funny, except one lady who was kind of grumpy that day. And in a rather loud voice, she said, "That's what's wrong with America." I'm going to say America. It's, you know, something bad's about to happen. America these days. Our kids don't know how to pray. Never heard of anyone praying for ice cream. Well, the little boy heard her say that, make that comment, and he burst into tears. And he said, Mommy, did I do it wrong? Is God mad at me?" And the mom said, "Oh, son, no, that's okay. You did the right thing." And about that time, a guy, a man who had heard both the prayer and the woman's comment, came over to the table, and he winked at the kid, and he said, "I happen to know that God really liked your prayer." And the little boy said, "Really? You promise?" And he said, "Cross my heart." And then loud enough for Miss Grumpy Pants to hear, he added, "Too bad she never asked God for it, because sometimes a little ice cream's good for the soul." Well, after dinner, the mom bought ice cream for the family, and they all began to dig into it, except the little boy, who stared at it for a while, and then he got up and he took it over to the sourpuss woman. And he set it in front of her, and he said, "Here, this is for you. Ice cream is good for the soul sometimes, and my soul's pretty good." Yeah. It's true. I agree. Ice cream is good for the soul. And generously giving it away is even better. Generously giving it away, whatever it is even better. It's good for the soul. Listen to this. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25. Says the generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. The generous will prosper. A week ago in the sermon, if you weren't here, I encourage you to listen to it on the podcast or the download it, whatever we do these days. The 8-track tapes in the lobby out there. But it was last week. And we talked about how the singular prescription for unleashing abundance in our lives, but at the same time breaking the bondage of this issue of godship, of who's going to be in control of our lives, God or mammon, the singular prescription for that Jesus gave to the rich young ruler was go, take what you have, sell it, and give it to the poor. And I'm always a little reluctant to follow up a message like this with an offering because I don't want you to feel manipulated. But in that case, Jesus didn't mind manipulating that young man. He said, take it and sell it and give it to the poor. And so in that, using that as our authority, I've commissioned an offering, not today, but on the Sunday before Thanksgiving, that we're going to give to the poor. I mentioned it a moment or two ago. We're going to give a kingdom builder's offering, and it's going to go to the poor. We're giving it for the ministry to our children. I would qualify them as poor. And if you have children, you would say, well, that qualifies me as poor because I'm raising those, and they're very expensive. But we're going to also give it to Convoy of Hope and their children's feeding initiative, and we're also going to use it to really relaunch and expand this ministry to immigrant students that are coming into the west side of Portland. So we're gonna receive an offering to the poor, and I'm praying that that will be one of those things that breaks something loose, that unleashes something in you to bring you into a deeper level, a greater experience of God's abundance than ever before. But between now and then, I'm just asking you to pray. And as I mentioned last week, the rule of giving that we have here at Portland Christian Center is to pray, to listen, and then to do it. To pray and say, God, what do you want me to do? and then just do it. And if God says, don't do it, then don't do it. And he may. God may say to you, look, I want you to obey me by not doing anything because the next time I'm going to ask you to do something. He can do that. He reserves the right to speak to our hearts. And I respect that right that you go through with God, that you will ask him and listen and then just do what he asks you to do. Between now and that Thanksgiving Sunday, I have written a prayer of ceaseless generosity. It's in your bulletin. I want you to pull that out. And I want to challenge you to pray this prayer every day between now and then. This will condition you for the offering. I think it will bring a sense of what you're to do in that offering. But even beyond that, I think this is a prayer for God, make me generous to you all the time. Bring me into that cycle of abundance so that you can unleash your favor in my life. And so I'm going to encourage you to pray this prayer out loud once a day, several times a day, whatever, for the next 30 days. I do this. I put this in front of my computer, and first thing when I, in the morning when I open up the computer, before I really get on the computer, I look at this, and I will pray this written prayer. Now, some of you may be uncomfortable with praying written prayers. I'm not. It helps me. I could, you know, when I, especially when I'm writing these prayers out, it takes me 15 minutes to write a 30-second prayer. But in that, I'm really processing this, what I'm asking God for, and it's getting deep within me. And so I just give this to you as the fruit of what God has done in my life. And I want to commission you and challenge you to pray this prayer every single day. And we're going to end our service by praying this written prayer. We're going to end our prayer, end our service by praying this together. So it's going to come up on the screen. And it will appear on three different screens. So when we get to the end of this one, they'll fast forward it and we'll get to the next one. So, this is not a spontaneous prayer, but it's a prayer, and it came from my heart, and I believe God wants us to do this. So, I'm going to encourage you to stand right now, and we're going to pray this together. We'll maybe slow it down a little bit, and I want you just to absorb this, and as you're praying this, really make it your prayer. God will hear you, whether it's spontaneous or rehearsed or written, and just make it your prayer, and think about these phrases, these sentences, and make them yours. So, every voice together, God, make me a conduit of ceaseless generosity. All that I have is yours. It is from you and for you. The time on my calendar, the energy in my body, the possessions in my home, and the wealth in my bank are all on loan from you. Teach me to use them as you would if you were in my place, to give quickly and freely, not counting it as loss, but as gain, serving you as you deserve, not seeking any reward, yet humbly expecting that as I sow generously, I will reap abundance. Cause heaven's riches to flow to me and through me. Make me living proof of ridiculous generosity in my generation. For your glory alone, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And God, I pray that this prayer would get deep within the core of who we are, since generosity is who you genetically are. God, bring that out of our genetics as well. Make us the most generous people, the most generous church in the city of Portland, on the face of the earth, God, I pray. And that won't happen because a pastor has preached a message, but only because we open up our hearts to the work of the Holy Spirit in this moment. So God, I pray that you would do that for us. And Lord, I pray that as we go out of this place today, that we would begin to experience the spigot turning on of your abundance flowing through us as we give out of your love and of your kingdom to the world around us. God, bring us back with testimonies of your blessing being upon us. God, make us a conduit of abundance and of generosity so that the more we give away, the more you give us to give away. I pray that for every man, woman, boy and girl at Portland Christian Center, and I pray this for your glory alone, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Amen. So go get them. Be a conduit of generosity this week, and we'll see you when we gather again to worship the Lord.
Thanks again for listening to this week's edition of the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you want more information about the ministries of Portland Christian Center or have a prayer need, please visit us online at pcctoday.com. Thanks for listening.